xmuscle.com presents. Do you like sex? Do you like muscle? Of course you do. This is Sex and Muscle Radio with your hosts, Nick DiRuzio and Dave Paloma.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to my wheelhouse. This is S&M Radio, Sex and Muscle Radio, here at rxmuscle.com. I'm your host, Nick DiRuzio, and with me, as always, the legendary Dave Paloma.
What's with the sexy, raspy voice today, Nick?
Puberty. Finally hit.
It's about time.
Yeah, I'm, as soon as my balls drop, I'm going to be good to go.
I don't know if that'll ever happen, but you know, you can always wishful thinking always is good.
I know my voice has pretty much been gone for the last 2 days, and I've kind of been on a stretch the last 3 weeks where work's been a little insane, and I'm slowly deteriorating. But thankfully, or unfortunately, depending upon how you look at it, I only have 2 jobs this week. So
now why would you lose your voice from working? I mean, it's not like you do a lot of talking while you're on set.
I think it's more that like guttural grunting that you do, and just the aggressiveness. I don't know why. Yeah, you know, maybe I'm just being an idiot. I happen to be under the weather, but I'm going to go with overworked.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you do these scenes with these chicks, do you tend to get like find that you get sick more frequently because you know you're making out with them, and then maybe they have colds or other diseases? You know.
You know, I personally don't, but we could flip the script on that and talk about the girls. It's real interesting when girls first get into porn. They tend to get sick an awful lot because their pussies haven't become acclimated to so many foreign objects going in there that they'll get yeast infections and vaginosis and all sorts of little ailments. But once they've been in the business for a few months, it's like their body is adjusted and they've got kind of like that a little shield of resistance up.
Does the same thing happen towards men? Do you get like urethritis and stuff like that when you first start?
I've never had that. I don't even know what that is. Is that a thing? And, yeah, what the fuck is that?
Well, it's like a urinary infection, I guess. Urinary tract infection like a woman would get, you know?
No, I mean, but I have actually got a few emails from some of the members, you know, I guess quietly asking me about, you know, kind of diseases in our industry. Our industry is kind of based on the idea of a utopia. Everyone is tested every 30 days. You're not allowed to work unless your test is clean. Now, in theory, that's a great system, provided everyone who's tested only fucks everyone else. So as long as we fuck everyone in our own little world, no one could ever possibly get sick.
Right.
But the problem is we don't live in a utopia and everyone's fucking everyone outside of work. So once someone gets something, it just tends to spread.
Sounds like Typhoid Mary you got there, huh?
Yeah, and the people at our testing facility, AIM Healthcare, will tell you if you do porn, you will get sick, whether it be something that's curable or something that's not. But if you do porn long enough, you will get sick.
Right.
So
when you're talking about like curable things, though, right?
No, curable and non-curable. Curable really? Being chlamydia and gonorrhea. Non-curable would be kind of like warts or herpes.
Mm.
And then you know, not too long ago, we did have an AIDS outbreak about two Ooh. Months ago.
Really? That's scary.
It was a little scary. A girl between her testing period came down with AIDS somehow or another, and she worked with a few people. Luckily, no one else got it, but we had to quarantine certain people. Certain companies stopped shooting altogether. It's a little scary.
Gotcha. That is kind of scary. But who do we got on the show tonight?
We have before we get to our guest, I want to tell you one more thing. Sorry, sweetheart, I know you're listening. Our last interview with Veronica Rain, I got a very interesting phone call 2 days later at 7 a.m.
Okay.
From her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't wake up. Yeah, oh, I didn't wake up, but I keep hearing my phone go off, and I'm like, who the fuck calls at 7 in the morning? Seriously, it needs to be important. He left like a few voicemails and text messages. Apparently, Miss Rain lied to her boyfriend about where she was going.
Uh-oh.
And as soon as he found out that she was in my home, or excuse me, as soon as he found out that she was in my home, he went off, and I almost got like a threatening phone call.
Really? Now, did he know that her friend was with her?
Well, he actually listened to the show. show. She, you know, because after, I don't know how it got back to him that he was at my house, and I didn't tell her to lie. I would, you know, but he listened to the show, and he didn't know about the phone sex conversation. And I was actually told to, she was told to keep her distance from me, not because of the fact that we fucked on her bed, but she lied about fucking on the bed.
Oh, I see. So there's like a mistrust there, almost.
Exactly. And he called me, and we actually straightened it out, and everything was cool between us.
Oh, okay.
But at the end of the day, I'm like, are you yelling at me because your girlfriend lies to you? How
right.
did that happen?
Yeah, it really isn't your fault, exactly.
Exactly. I was like, what did I do? And he's like, well, you were going to try and fuck her that day. I was like, I had work. I'm not going to try and fuck your girlfriend. I mean, that's just banter for the show. At least that's what I'm telling him.
You know, Jeff, I got to stop you for a second, Nick. Jeff, doesn't Nick he's starting to sound like Aaron Singerman, isn't he?
No. I don't, you see, like, actually, Aaron Singerman sounds somewhere over here, and like he sounds like a. You know, Nick is a lot more sophisticated when he speaks.
Yeah, but Nick's got the rasp going on. He's got the Aaron Singerman
rasp. There's a fine line between rasp and Aaron Singerman. Okay.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, Jeff, at any time, just, you know, I'd hate our listeners to maybe chime in the middle of this and be like, who the fuck is co-hosting with Dave? So if you want to just chime in at any point, Jeff, just so everyone knows, it's me.
Oh, thanks, Nick. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, matter of fact, Jeff, why don't you be so kind as to introduce our guest for us?
In Nick's voice, the real Nick's voice.
Our next guest, unfortunately, couldn't make it to my house because her boyfriend might be listening, and I don't want to get that 7 a.m. phone call. She is the incredibly hot, sexy Gail Moyer.
Hello,
hi. Hey, Gail.
Hey, how are you, Dave?
I don't even need you anymore, Nick. I can just have Jeff do your voice. Especially if you have to be on set or something like that, you know.
Well, welcome to the show, Gail.
Thank you. How have you been?
I've been well, and you?
Good. Getting ready to compete again?
I just spoke to Gail the other day. We did a voiceover. She's going to be in the Iron Asylum up on the RX Muscle site in a few days.
Told me that when I spoke with her yesterday, and when we had a conversation about a half hour ago, I was very excited to hear that she was getting back on stage. It's been a while, hasn't it, Gail?
And maybe 2 years, so I'm pretty pumped myself. So yeah, I'm excited.
No, I guess as Dave knows, we don't need to get into like all the details of why you haven't competed, because then we'd be doing the same interview twice.
Right.
So I guess we'll have to think of more provocative things to talk about, Gail.
Oh, I don't know what you're going to say. There's not much out there.
Okay. Well,
I was bringing it up earlier. I said, you know, Gail like is one of these people that seems so like innocent, but you know, it's those people. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. You know.
Well, I mean, she's innocent until you get a few drinks in her, and then God knows what could happen. Isn't that right, Gail?
I don't know. Go ahead, Nick. What are you referring to here?
Alluding to. Do you happen to... I mean, I've already asked permission to tell the story. Gail, I'm assuming you kind of remember the details of our first meeting?
Of course I do. How could I forget?
Oh, boy.
It's in my memory.
It was rather memorable, wasn't it?
Well, you gonna tell us, Nick? Come on.
Back when I was first kind of starting, not getting into bodybuilding myself, but becoming a fan, my trainer at the time, Tito Raymond, was competing at the USA's. So the first show I ever went to was the USA's to watch him compete, which in fact was his last competition. I had no one to go with, and I felt a little embarrassed about that, so I invited my dad to Vegas with me.
Okay.
And over the course of the weekend, Gail and I had met and, you know, made plans to hang out after the USA's, you know, go have a cocktail at one of those local little bars that are I guess they're called lounges that are in the Vegas hotels.
Right.
And
where all your type hang out, Nick, right?
Yeah, we troll those often, just on the happen chance that a female bodybuilder might walk in. Just, you know, it's a schmo hangout. I couldn't tell you exactly what hotel. But I was really excited to learn.
It's probably like the Golden Nugget or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was the MGM. It was the MGM.
All right, she remembers.
You remember?
Wow.
So you weren't that drunk, apparently. Which is cool. You know, a lot of people who compete don't drink at all, even when they're a little off-season, which is a little unfortunate. What's up with that?
I don't know. You have to enjoy yourself at some point, you know.
We need to loosen up and have a little fun every now and then. But her and
Nick, hold on. I got to stop you here because you obviously haven't been to many bodybuilding parties. as a veteran, and I know Gail's been to a couple of these as well, from 2001 to about 2004 when I was on my ripping streak, I saw Gail at every party, and there was some pretty crazy ones.
You remember?
I remember. Hanging out with the people I've been hanging out with in the scene, I'm getting either or. Either they drink a lot or they don't drink at all. I mean, because I don't drink that often, but I find people who don't drink even a bit when you do go out socially, you kind of have that, like, that we can't see eye to eye thing. It's like
Nick,
kind of
these people
breaks the ice.
These people didn't drink, but they didn't have any problem relating to what we were talking about.
maybe other things involved.
Other party favors involved, exactly.
And the fascinating thing about bodybuilders and their party favors, as we call them, is I really do think they take into account how it'll affect their calorie intake and their like metabolism.
Of course.
So that limits the amount of party favors we can partake in.
Not necessarily.
It's really fascinating to me.
Depends on what party favors you're using.
Like, well, exactly. I mean, we could go down the list, but then we're all going to incriminate ourselves, I guess. We all have stories to tell.
Right. So get back to the story.
Gail and I's story. Gail and I had a few drinks, and we got very, very inebriated. We're just out of it. And we start making out with one another in the middle of this lounge. And now there's making out, and then there's making out. We were making out to the point. Do you remember that guy coming by and screaming in our face?
I do.
So you're making out with Gail.
We're on one of the edge tables, and this group of guys come by, and he literally got within inches of our face and was like, "Get a room."
Really? In Vegas, they say that to you?
Yeah.
I almost thought I was going to get thrown out of a strip club once because of the indecent acts I was performing. No one said a word to me.
Well, this is a story for another time, perhaps.
You were probably what were you like in the middle of like the cocktail lounge or something like that doing this?
That's exactly where we were.
Oh, all right, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not in a strip club. We're in a cocktail lounge.
Right.
In addition to the making out, we got a lot of heavy petting going on. I know we talked about kind of public displays of affection on another show and kind of what's appropriate and what's not. I just vividly remember at the time I was growing and my jeans were a little tight, and you could very vividly see what was going on in my jeans. And I remember her stroking the top of my jeans as if there were no jeans there. That was pretty cool.
Did it go any further than that?
Well, then here, Gail and I had a dilemma, and we were. And this was the funny part. Okay, as I told her, my dad is in my room upstairs. And so that's a problem. And she was in town, but she was staying with someone in her room. And we're trying to decipher, where can we have sex? We've decided we're going to have sex, but where can we have sex? Do you remember our ideas, Gail?
I think bathroom, public bathroom.
Bathroom in Vegas. What's the likelihood of us getting not caught walking in by a camera?
All right, hold on. I got to stop you right here, Nick, because I'm going to... I can tell you're not a closer. All right, because...
you don't even know how I close.
I know your whole shtick. You're a cheapo. So, see, what I would have done, if I was with a hot girl like Gail and I wanted to, you know, close this deal, I would have gotten another room. Okay, my own room.
I was a kid. I couldn't afford another room.
I would have thrown my credit card and worried about it later, and I would have finished the deal the right way.
I don't think I was even... I was probably right around 21, and most Vegas hotels wouldn't... I don't even know if they'd give me a room at that point. I'm not sure quite age I was, but... whether or not they would have gave me a room or not, I didn't have the money for that at the time.
You should have gone upstairs, and you should have called your dad up and said, "Hey, Dad, come on, man. You know, give me a break. Go get lost for 2 hours."
Well, see, we're coming to that. See, you're jumping ahead.
Oh, okay.
So we thought about the public bathrooms, but again, we were actually, I guess, just sober enough to understand we're going to get kicked out of the casino if we do that. And then I thought of the genius idea. We're going to fuck in my car. My car is in one of the garages, and we're going to fuck in the car. Problem, I don't have my car keys. They're in the hotel room with my dad. So we decide we're going to go get my car keys. And we're walking, we go up to the room, and I was like, okay, we got to be really quiet. It's probably about 1 in the morning, and you can hear my dad snoring because he snores. And I was like, all right, so we just got to be really quiet, all right? I'm going to just grab my keys, and we're going to get going. That was the plan. The moment we walked through the door, we just started going at one another.
Oh, no.
And we crept into the bathroom and shut the door real quietly and closed her my ass. We fucked with my dad 5 feet away from me on the other side of the room.
That's a 21-year-old move, definitely. Yeah.
But we fucked for quite some time. It was probably a couple, like an hour and a half, 2 hours. But it was really cool because we had to keep quiet the whole time. So you would see us like reach these like heights of like real intensity and then kind of reminding ourselves where we are and who's just on the other side of the room.
That's pretty funny. That's a good story, Nick. Now let me ask you this question. Did she ever talk to you again after that?
Let me ask her that.
Ask me.
Del.
Yes, I did. He's been a really good friend, and I've remained friends with Nick since then, believe it or not. But no, he's an awesome guy.
Now, so I have proof that I'm a closer. So,
was that a cougar move on your part, Gail, at the time, since he was only 21?
You know, I thought, God, I hate that word. Age wasn't an issue at that point. He was a cute, hot guy. Okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Now, were you doing? Were you just hanging out? Sorry, go ahead.
We can go around the room. I want to know, am I the only one in this conversation who's had sex with their parents so close to the actual action? Gail, have you ever had sex with a family member that close? Like, I want to know how adventurous you get.
No, it was fun. It was a good evening.
No, but what about you when you were younger, maybe when you lived with your parents? Did you ever, kind of get it on with a guy, you know, when your parents were home or anything like that?
I never brought boys home or anything. Remember, I grew up in England. We were a little bit more reserved back there. I don't remember bringing any boys back home.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was more reserved in England because your legal drinking age is so young over there.
Now, what we had to do if we wanted to make out with boys in the evening, we'd go to the local, I guess you'd call them like a youth hall, or we call them village halls back then, and you'd hang out outside and make out outside around the corner in the dark.
What if you wanted to go further than making out?
What was that?
What if you wanted to go further than making out?
Oh, wow, you just found, like I said, a quiet, dark corner outside somewhere.
Did you ever go farther? Did you actually have sex outside in a dark corner in some alley or something?
You know what? I didn't have sex till I was 21.
That's good.
Wow.
So,
Dave, don't encourage girls to wait till they're 21. That's awful.
No, then they make up for later in life. That's good.
Young innocent men at local bars.
I got a funny story though about me because, you know, I was living at home with my dad, you know, after, you know, I went to college, I went to med school, and then I had to move back home because I left med school, you know, to be a bodybuilder, you know. So I'm living at home, you know, I'm trying to save my money so I can pay my student loans off. And, you know, I was dating the same girl for a long time, and, you know, I'm like 300 and something pounds living there. And my dad's room was right next to mine. And, you know, she would sleep over, and my father would tell me the next day, like, the whole house was shaking. Like, because, and we were probably like 10 feet apart between the, you know, the wall that was separating my room from his room. But he said the whole house would shake, you know. And so I was really pretty embarrassed when he told me that, like, later in life, you know.
So intense, Dave.
What? I don't know. I think it was just, I was so heavy. It's like when I would walk the whole, you know, it was like the Tyrannosaurus Rex walking, you know, the whole house shook anyway. So, you know, throw two bodies on a bed and you can only imagine what happens.
Now, I'm curious for the two of you, Dave and Gail, with the idea of the fact, whether it be family member or someone else being so close that you could be easily caught, is that more of a turn on or a hindrance?
Hindrance if it's your parents, that's for sure.
No, apparently not in your case. How could you not know they were going to catch you? But what about you, Gail?
I'd say if it was someone like a friend or something, actually even someone you didn't know, maybe it'd be excitement to start with, but then you'd want to just go for it, then I think it'd be a hindrance. So double jeopardy.
I agree.
Yeah, touche. I always think, because I like a vocal girl, so it's always a annoys the shit out of me. If you like, I have a, apparently I'm more reserved than the two of you. Like, even when it comes to my friends, I don't like I prefer to go into another room. I'm just like, hey, I want to have my space, my time. But I have friends of mine who don't do porn whatsoever, who fuck with like my buddies like 5 feet away. I don't get it.
I'm not into that, but you know, I think this interesting thing is Gail says she didn't have sex till 21, and now she's like very sexually, I guess, open because you do a lot of videos and pictures. And how did that come about?
Oh goodness, I guess more by accident more than anything. I mean, I was, you know, I grew up. My father was a photographer, and my mother used to be a model, and she was doing glamour pictures, as we called them back then, or nudes, way back. And I used to find all these photos my dad was taking, so so I've been exposed to it for a long time. So to me, a female naked is not anything that's, you know, unusual. I mean, it doesn't bother me. Nudity doesn't really bother me. I mean, I have you know, I have a daughter. She doesn't live at home anymore, but I mean, she's kind of the same way, just very comfortable with her body, you know, about walking around the house with no clothes and talk openly about it. So, but I guess for me to actually go into do the video thing, that was something I kind of happened. It was a kind of gradual process. It's kind of one of those things when you're on set and you're asked to do something, you know, that people standing there now, am I going to say no and look? Look silly, or just kind of participate and kind of go with the flow.
I know.
I mean, yeah, really. I mean, really, it was. Now I haven't done anything like that for 2 years, and I'm not sure if I'm going to go back to doing, you know, those types of videos again. I'm definitely, you know, I think, you know, especially female bodybuilders, you know, bodies are a work of art. So I see nothing wrong with nude photos at all. Whether I want to go down the same road I was going with a slight, you know, pornographic.
Oh yeah, that's porn. No. That, you're right. Pornographic.
Doesn't that sound so dirty, that word, Nick? Right? People are afraid to use it.
Well, yeah, let's sugarcoat it.
All the dirty stuff. I don't know. I'm still undecided about which direction I'm going.
Since your definition of pornographic is a little fuzzy, what exactly did you do in these videos so everyone at home could decide for themselves if it was actually pornographic or not?
Well, the videos, I mean, it first started out with just kind of being naked and I guess, you know, open leg shots and things like that, but it gradually progressed to the use of, you know, vibrators and dildos to the point of other girls using them on you, and then also, you know, oral sex, so... So it was a slight progression.
Was it all women?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm not gay. I'm not even bisexual, actually. But it's funny from doing that how many men think I totally am bisexual or just totally into women. It's kind of funny.
Well, Nick would say that you are bisexual, right, Nick? Isn't that your definition? Well,
No, she's what they call, I mean, again, when you do something on film, it's completely different than if you do it at home. I don't consider what you do on film to define your sexuality unless you would do it at home. And I remember talking to Gail a few years ago and her telling me that a girlfriend of hers was kind of hitting on her and hoping things might happen between the two of them, and her telling me that she wasn't interested at all. Now, Gail, if you're not into women, was there any hesitance with that at all? I mean, if you're not into them whatsoever, it's almost, is it almost you find it kind of disgusting in a way, or just something that's just a total turnoff? I would think that would come across on film.
I don't think it's disgusting. It's, to me, it was acting and kind of taking myself out of myself. That makes sense. I mean, it must really make sense to you, but it's not actually. I know it's me in the video, but it's not actually me when I'm actually in the process of making the video. Does that make sense?
It does. So, well, then, out of curiosity, I'm curious if one thing was more difficult than the other. For instance, being a girl not into women, was it harder to allow a girl to go down on you or for you to go down on a girl? Which did you find a little more, I'm not going to say unpleasant, but just something a little harder to you to grasp and get down to doing?
For me to go down on her was definitely uncomfortable for me because...
something.
We got our tongue tied.
Literally, right?
Literally, yeah.
But no, that was definitely more difficult for me to go down on them because I knew a couple of the girls were definitely into women. And, you know, and I kind of know what I'm doing, but I'm not like I'm experienced with women. So that was why I was uncomfortable.
Were you worried that you were going to turn them on maybe and then that you'd have problems with them afterwards?
I was worried I wasn't going to turn them on.
Obviously, that wasn't a problem from what I hear.
Now, for anyone at home not familiar with the videos we're talking about, we're again talking about Denise Messina's videos. I don't know the titles of any offhand, which should surprise Dave. So you decided not to do men right away as you kind of progressed into this pornographic thing. It was just an immediate no, and, like never going to happen, or was it something that crossed your mind?
It crossed my mind, but for me to... And, you know, I've asked a couple of times by a couple of different people. No names mentioned.
Share who they were, excluding me, because I'll admit that I asked.
And I really have thought about it, but for me to do that, there would have to be some really big financial gains. I wouldn't want just to do it one time and that be it. There seems no reason to do that. I mean, if you're going to get a contract worth X amount or maybe 2 years or something, that has given me something to think about. But just to do a one-off film, to me, wasn't worth it.
Is that why you originally got into it, for the money? I mean, is that why you started doing this stuff?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, yeah, honestly, that's the truth in it, yeah.
Okay. I have one thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I think Lauren Powers told me this. I don't quote me if I'm wrong on this. Did you guys do a tour around the country where you guys like played at different like strip clubs and did like a girl act there?
I actually got into. I became a feature entertainer, which is a girl is hired by strip clubs to perform like four nights a week, four 20-minute shows. You have a full costume, a full performance, and I did that for maybe 2 years. And then toward the end. Lauren kind of got in with me, and we did like a double or duo girl act. Mm-hmm. And we'd simulate things like that, but it was more the, I guess if you want to say, the strength thing we played up on.
What do you get paid for doing an act like that, for a feature act like that?
You get a set price per, say you're doing six shows, you might get paid a set price of $2,000 plus airfare and hotel. And then whatever tips you make on top of that.
And how much would you make on a typical evening?
I mean, tips could vary so much. I mean, anything from, you know, $200 to $500, maybe even more. You know?
Oh, well, that's a pretty good weekend.
No, I mean, it was good money, but I don't know. That's a whole nother. It's very interesting because that's a whole nother subculture. You know, the girls who perform within the stripping industry. It's like a whole. Totally different lifestyle to what I'm used to. You know, everyone, you know, hangs out there, drinks, parties, and then goes home like 4 or 5 in the morning. So, I mean, just
you don't
totally
drink.
Different
or party.
Culture.
Did you not like that? Did you not like that?
You know, it's hard work. I mean, believe it or not, it doesn't sound like it's hard work, but to get up on stage maybe 4 times a night for 20 minutes and you have to have a full routine, it can become draining, I think, mentally. And I guess that's what happens to so many of the girls. You know, get caught up in that, why they end up getting into the drugs and the alcohol, because you just want to block your mind out, you know, from, you know, the guys, I don't know, doing the same thing each night, you know, watching these guys.
I can kind of see you're not being so into guys after that, too, because there's probably some real disgusting stuff going on there, I'm sure.
Well, it's just a turn-off. It gives you an insight into men, I guess, you know. And how, not all men, of course, but, you know.
Into the insight into, like, the man that comes out when they're out late just thinking about their dick, but not in entirety. I'd hate it if all those guys at the strip club ruined it for everybody. I mean, we've already established Dave does debauchery in strip clubs, but, you know, we're not all like Dave.
You know, I can tell you guys a really funny story. It's the first time I actually danced was in Kansas City, because they promoted me, obviously, as a bodybuilder, you know, feature entertainer.
Right.
And I'm up on stage, and I see this guy, maybe in his middle age, watching me and just intensely watching me. And I'm flexing my biceps, and he's just intently, you know, just watching me. I see him kind of squirm a little bit, but not really paying attention. Well, after the show, he comes up to me and tells me that every time I flex my bicep. He was getting harder, and eventually he came in his pants. So of course, the next time I get up to do my second show, he's sitting in the front row again. So I'm deliberately just flexing my muscles as hard as I can, just watching him, making him come in his pants. So that's kind of a power trip, you know, when you have that power over someone.
Was his name Nick DeRussia?
Yeah, kind of similar.
Was he a good tipper?
I don't remember. I just remember.
You don't remember. He better have been a good tipper. I mean, you made the man ejaculate without touching himself. I like the fact that he told her that, like, after it had already occurred. So I'm guessing the first time around, he didn't have to tip you for that because he was, like, off in the distance.
that always blows my mind, Nick, the whole flexing thing that gets these guys off. I just don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it.
I talked to it with a girl. Like, I hate to say, I don't know if this will come off right. I mean, when I think of female bodybuilders and like what I find appealing about them, when I see them in photo shoots or little videos or whatnot, I do kind of like the way Denise portrays them. I like it when female bodybuilders, for lack of a better way of putting it, act like normal women. I want to see you do the sexy things that a normal woman would do. You just happen to be muscular. I mean, you doing hitting a double bi and, you know, or maybe doing a video of you doing curls isn't going to do a damn thing.
All that posing I did for you was a waste of time, and for your time.
Yeah, we could have just skipped all of that.
That was foreplay for Nick.
Well, I mean, let's see if we can get some other guys, maybe preferences out here a little bit. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm not the only male porn star you've had sex with.
Who are you talking to? Me?
He's not talking to me, that's for sure.
I'm talking to Dave. Tell me it's true.
It's true.
No, I'm talking to you, Gail. I'm guessing you've had sex with another male porn star other than me. Am I wrong there?
No, you're perfectly right.
Really? Who was that?
Okay. His name's Christian Wyand.
Do you know him, Nick?
Yeah, I do know him. Don't I, Gail?
Yes, you do.
What is he?
That's a little funny because of all the guys in porn. I don't really have a problem with anyone, but Christian definitely has a problem with me.
Really? So, why is that?
That's a long, convoluted story, and I don't necessarily want to get into that one because that one's ugly. He really doesn't care for me at all, and I mean, Gail can contest to that. I'm sure, just without even knowing, without even having asked, I guarantee you, once he found out that I knew Gail, he talked major shit about me. Just say yes or no, Gail, yeah?
One time, but then I told him I didn't want to hear about it. So
what? Nick, you're kind of like a harmless guy. Like, what could someone possibly dislike you that much about you?
I mean, if I had to go out on a limb, and again, I don't really have ill feelings toward him. I've actually extended an olive branch, and with the hopes that we could like get together and kind of iron out our differences, and I still hope we can maybe do that one day. Although I'm not holding my breath. I actually think if I boiled it down. As far as the women we're attracted to, I think they're so similar that it's almost a competitive thing. What do you think, Gail?
Yeah, I mean, because he loves, female bodybuilders.
He's another one?
He's another one.
I remember how I learned that him and Gail knew each other. The first day I met him, I was walking out of one of our adult agency's offices, and he was walking up, and I recognized him. He's like 6'4", 6'5". If you had to think, like, picture him, he's Mr. Clean. He looks exactly like Mr. Clean. And I walk up to him, and somehow or another, in our brief little conversation, he went off on this tangent and says, I'm into female bodybuilders. And I'm like, really? Huh. And he's like, oh yeah, I date a lot of them. I was like, really? Who do you date? And he went down this laundry list of all these girls he dated right off the bat. And again, I had only known the man for like 5 minutes. And one of the girls he listed in his list was Gail. So, and
who else did he list? Hold on. Who else did he list?
Diana Dennis. God, it was so long ago. A lot of Vegas-based girls, because he did live in Vegas at one time.
Right.
But he listed some pretty big names, and they're just not coming to me at the moment. But when he said Gail's name, it jumped out at me because I was like, whatever. So the moment I left his side, I called Gail up on the phone. I was like, what are you, some kind of porn star groupie? Are you fucking all of us? And the funny part was, Gail says to me, date him? I just met the guy.
Right.
Isn't that
so how did you piss him off? You completely left the story you were telling us.
Well, no, I wasn't trying to get into how I pissed him off. I'm extrapolating why he competes with me.
Oh, so he doesn't like you because you compete for the same women? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I think so. I know him and I have got into it at one point, and I said some things that he didn't really like. I kind of, you know, when you're getting in an argument with someone, you kind of know if you know where someone's big button is, you just push it.
Oh.
And I pushed his big button, and I actually called him the next day to apologize because that's really just not who I want to be.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't hearing that. But
oh well.
I just thought it was interesting after I'd met him that he said he dated Gail when they had just met.
I just met him at the AVMs, actually. That's how I met him.
Was that
was like a week before or something, that actual
right.
conversation? It was right after that.
Right.
Is that like a big hookup place with those awards, Nick?
It's not really a big hookup place because we all hooked up already, but I mean, it's a place where definitely people go to party, but Gail walking around there definitely would cause a little commotion. And,
now, Gail, why would you go to the AVNs?
Okay, that was the point when Lauren and I were doing the dancing.
Uh-huh.
And so our next thing was we were going around to all the big magazines to see if they're interested. We're talking, the video companies like Vivid, the big name companies, to see if they'd be interested in us, you know, doing work for them. And so Lauren and I were walking around together, and I suddenly hear this guy, you know, running up to us, and it was Christian. It's kind of funny that how we met him, but obviously Lauren and I kind of stood out at a place like that, you know, because, you know, all the other little porn girls walking around, and there's us with the big boobs, and, you know, Lauren 5'6" and whatever, with our muscles, so we actually got to walk the red carpet, believe it or not, the AVN.
Wow. Lauren must have been quite a sight there, and she must have made quite a splash there.
Hold on,
Gail's laughing. I want to hear what did Lauren do at the AVNs that was memorable?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. There's so many things. I mean, we actually got in to watch the awards ceremony, and we were just. I forget whose table we sat at, but we were just dying with the awards that are being handed out, you know, award for the best blowjob or the best threesome, or, I mean, we couldn't stop laughing.
Were you laughing at the award titles or the acceptance speeches, which I always find really great?
The titles, and then we had some photos taken with a couple of porn girls, and this one girl had her arm around me, and she's so drunk. She spills her drink. It's on the red carpet. Just pours her drink down my back.
These girls
are just all fucked up to be at this award ceremony. You know, they can't even stay sober for their own awards.
Nick, what does like a girl say when, you know, for the best anal scene? Like, you know, what could the acceptance speech possibly be?
Well, the funny thing is, I think everyone in the industry takes the award differently. Some people like me, I take them with a grain of salt. I think we have like four award shows now. I think we invent these titles as a way of making ourselves feel a little more important than we actually are.
Right.
Kind of way of giving credence to what we do. But some people take it real seriously. I mean, they lobby for an award. They go around telling everyone they're nominated. And they genuinely get enthralled about, oh my God, everyone's so happy that I can take a 13-inch dick in my ass and like a champ that I want to go on stage and after receiving my award for best anal, I'd like to thank my parents. They do. Mom, Dad, I'd like to thank you for giving me the genetic gift that has made so many men out there ejaculate on themselves. And Lauren's actually very right. when I was younger and I first got in porn, AVN is just a party weekend. Just to like sum it up, we talked about party favors earlier. My entire like 4 or 5 days I spent in Vegas when I was younger consisted of, I would wake up at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. at night. I'd go to dinner with the girls who had just spent all day signing, meeting their fans or whatever. We'd go to dinner, and our party would start immediately there, drinking, doing whatever party favors we were doing at the time. Our party would end, the debauchery would probably end about sunup, and the bitch of it is, all the girls who just finished partying at 6, 7 in the morning need to immediately go get dolled up to go back out and meet with the fans. When the men, like myself, we would just go to bed and wake up, you know, 9, 10 hours later and just do the whole thing all over again.
Sounds like fun. Well,
then it's not so much fun for girls like Gail who are trying to just have a nice clean time and get a drink spilled down her dress. But I want to know, since Gail, we talked about Christian earlier, it was rumored that you guys dated, yeah?
How can I ever date someone who lives in L.A.? I live where I live at.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Since I'd heard you dated, I was going to say, how did dating a porn star for like a normal girl go down? How did that?
Well, if I was to date him.
She said she wasn't.
Well, we could speak hypothetically. Since he did say
you
were
dating. I'm very open-minded, as we all know now. So, I was, my last marriage was such an awful experience when I had a husband that cheated on me, I'm going to say every day of the week, and then when I found these things out, for me it would be easier to date a porn star, I think, because at least I'd know who he was fucking and when he was fucking and that he was getting paid for it. So,
are you soured? Did you get soured towards men because of that whole experience?
No, I'm not. No, okay. I'm not at all. I'm over it now. But
maybe we should refer Gail to our last episode, because maybe apparently all the fucking doesn't go down on camera. But I appreciate the openness and honesty. So, would you be open to an open relationship then, if it were not a porn guy? Like if you and just some random guy hooked up, but he was interesting in the swinging kind of open lifestyle.
I mean, it sounds okay, doesn't it? But when you fall in love with someone and your emotions get involved, I don't know how I would handle that. I have no idea. If I wasn't in love with him or whatever, maybe it'd be different, but I don't think so.
Well, Nick, we're running out of time here. Gail's got the show in less than 2 weeks' time coming up. Gail, do you have a website that you have like a member section to, or anything you want to promote?
I do not right now.
You don't?
No, I need a new web guy.
Oh, you got to call Colette. She does web stuff.
Oh, does she really? Well, I will, because anyway, I'll talk to you about that.
All right. Now, after you compete, are you going to be doing any more of this risque photography, or are you calling it quits for a while?
Only with you, Dave.
Good
Only
answer.
With Dave.
Great answer.
Wow. I guess Dave will have to work that out with Colette, and she'll get back to you.
That's all right. She can simulate some sex with Colette. That's all right.
Simulate. Not actual sex.
That's right.
Simulated, he said.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Thanks for coming in, Gail. We appreciate it.
Now, thank you for having me.
We'll see you in Atlantic City, Gail.
Good luck.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Nick, good call. I really like Gail. You know, I didn't. I've talked to her before. Obviously, I've known her for many years, but I never really got to talk to her, you know, in depth until a couple of days ago when I did her voiceover interview. But I think that she's like one of these people that you just underestimate her, because you never would think that she would take her clothes off and do all the video she has done in the past.
I think the accent has something to do with that. I think the English accent, she just comes off very proper.
Yeah, that's you're right. That's what throws you.
You know, and you're like, no, she's an English gal. I mean, lo and behold, in our industry, the English girls are kind of known for being the dirtiest of the group.
Really?
We expect more out of the English girls than we do the American girls.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
So, I just wanted to get something straight for everyone. If she and Colette were to get together, it would have to be simulated. You wouldn't let that happen?
Oh, I would let it happen in a second, of course. I'm a guy, man. But no, she said she's not into chicks, though.
Oh, but apparently apparently money talks. So.
I'm not paying. I don't pay for it.
Or just get her drunk enough, and apparently
right. Give her a few drinks.
All rules go out the window.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of Colette, she's tapping my shoulder because she's got her show coming up. So it's that time again. I'm going to have to tell you to go fuck yourself, and I'll see you next week, man.
Thanks, buddy. Don't think I know where you got that fucking Tropic Thunder line stealer.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get it from that, but I really liked it when I saw that.
I just figured it out like earlier this morning. I was just because I watched that like a few nights ago again, and Tom Cruise character said, "Go fuck yourself."
Yeah, that's
like,
oh. It was a terrible movie, but there was some good lines in it, definitely.
Dude, Tom character's guy was great.
Right? It just was so un Tom Cruise like.
Yeah. Well, Rich, I know you guys got stuff to do, and I actually had another guest lined up for today, but I canceled it just because I didn't feel like entertaining someone at my house today.
All right.
But Jeff probably will be excited to hear that either next week or the week after, we're going to have Shyla Stiles in.
Oh, wow. You're the fucking man.
You mismade Jeff's whole day.
You are the man.
She's a very good friend, and we have lots of off-camera party stories to tell you guys between the two of us.
All right.
But I figured.
We got to go, Nick.
All right, guys. You have a wonderful day.
All right. Enjoy your neighborhood.
Gracias for listening to Sex y Muscle Radio. Tune in next week for more sex and more muscle at the same time. Adios. Y no me jodan.